Numbers chapter 13, verse 6, and then we'll read one other verse. We'll pray and get into the message this evening. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 6. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, then what? Numbers. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 6. All together of the tribe of Judah, Caleb the son of Jephunneh. Then turn, if you would, to chapter 14 and verse 24. Chapter 14 and verse 24. All together, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I thank you, Father, for this person that we'll be studying tonight and some of the wonderful characteristics that defined him. Help us, dear God, to be men and be women like Caleb, or not women like Caleb, but like Caleb in certain characteristics. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, in this sermon, we're going to take a look at a man whose name means bold. It means impetuous, as well as dog. Now, if I were to ask you who are some of the most outstanding men in the Old Testament, many would say, well, it'd be Abraham. It'd be Jacob. It'd be Moses. It'd be Joseph, David, Daniel, perhaps Elijah or Elijah. But I would doubt that the man Caleb would cross any of our minds. Yet this unsung hero, this noble man named Caleb, is said to have fully followed the Lord. Not once, not twice, but six times in Scripture. Caleb happened to be one of the 12 spies that Moses sent out to check out the land of Canaan. And we are told this in Numbers chapter 13, verse 17 and 18. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few are many. These 12 men were sent to gather information. And in all reality, they were on a reconnaissance mission. They were to get a survey of the land. They were to take note of the people. They were to get a report of the cities and bring that back to Moses. 10 of the 12 spies came back with a negative report. And they told the people, yes, it's a land that floweth with milk and honey. It is abundance of fruit that is there. And then they went on to say, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Then they told the folks, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Now I want you to understand something. These 10 spies were right. They couldn't do it. And the reason they couldn't do it is they left God out of the equation. They went on to describe the giants. And how they, the Jewish people, were nothing more than grasshoppers in their sight. In the midst of their evil report, however, Caleb stills the people. And he says, let's go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. The consecration of Caleb was solid. You see, he wouldn't be swayed by the doubters. He wouldn't be swayed by what they had to say. He was going to wholly follow the Lord. He believed the Lord brought them out of Egypt. And because he brought them out of Egypt, he was able to bring them into the promised land. Even though what those 10 spies happened to see could not be disputed. Caleb chose to live by faith and not by sight. He would wholly, faithfully and fully follow the Lord. Notice Caleb's courage. Was he distressed? Dismayed? Discouraged over a few giants? Was not the land everything God said it was? Did the Lord not promise this land to the children of Israel? So what's the problem? Well, the problem was, no one had told the Canaanites that they were to be moving. No one had given them an eviction notice. And it would be Israel that God would use to remove those squatters out of that land that was the Jews. Caleb didn't see that as a problem. For he believed in God with whom all things are possible. Others were looking at giants. Caleb was looking at God. The other 10 were looking at obstacles. Caleb saw it as an opportunity. And while they cast doubt, he believed that with God, it was as good as done. While others witness what God had done for his people in the past, Caleb believed God was capable of doing great things for his people in the present. Think about it. Did not God, in the not too distant past, deliver his people out of Egypt, the most powerful nation on earth at the time? Did he not plague them with frogs, lice, flies, boils, locusts, hail, darkness, and the death of the firstborn? Did he not by this time open up the Red Sea so that Israel could escape on dry land and then close that back and drown Pharaoh and his army? Did he not make bitter water sweet at Marah? Did he not bring forth quails so they could eat flesh and give them manna every morning? Did he not quench their thirst in the wilderness by bringing water out of a rock? And did he not lead them in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night? Had he not answered the prayer of Moses? Has he not proven his might by the miracles that he did? And had he not kept his word by delivering his people after they were afflicted for 400 years? Yet now, because of the scourging words of 10 faithless men, progress is stalled. Fear has set in, and the blessings of God had been forfeited. Yet amongst the multitude, there are two voices, and just two. And they cry out, "The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." The vast multitude says, "We can't." But Joshua and Caleb say, "We can." They were not concerned about obstacles. They simply wanted to obey God, and they believed if God be for us, who can be against us? These two believed in claiming what God promised. And they tried to rally the people to move forward by faith. Yet the people would have none of it. And they wanted to silence these two by stoning them to death. They are not unlike so many churchgoers today. They don't want to hear the preacher challenge them to move forward by faith. They don't want to hear about their homes being ordered in a scriptural manner. They don't want to hear about trusting God with their finances or surrendering their all to Christ and being a doer of the word so that they'll get in on the blessings that God has for them. Oh, they won't stone the preacher. But you know what? They'll have him for lunch. And you know what else? They'll try to silence him by bad-mouthing his message to others with their unfaithful opinions. The crowd didn't change Caleb, however, one iota, as he took a courageous stand for God as he fully followed the Lord. So we see Caleb's courage. Now we see Caleb's integrity. Caleb's integrity. In Joshua 14, the children of Israel finally conquered the promised land. And after 40 years of wilderness funerals, they are ready to start dividing the land. And on this day, an 85-year-old man steps up. Him and Joshua are the two old folks in all of Israel. And he steps up and he says to Joshua, who happened to be the leader of Israel, 40 years old was I when Moses, a servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly follow the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Amen. You see, Caleb wanted what the Lord had promised him, and these giants that occupied that mountain weren't going to stop him. He was ready to go and get what should have been his 45 years earlier. He was still, however, wholly following the Lord all those years and believing what God had said. Caleb wasn't a run-of-the-mill believer. He soared like an eagle amongst turkeys, and he was steadfast in the faith in following God. God had promised him a mountain, and Caleb was going to get it. He had godly character. He had a steadfastness about him, and he held to the faith like Eliezer held to the sword. Now, there are plenty of other men in the Bible who were characters with problems, but Caleb wasn't one of them. Some men are like Samson. They have moral problems. They lust after strange women. Now, strange women, as we found this morning, is any woman you're not married to. David had the same problem as he took Bathsheba, another man's wife, and then had him killed to cover up her pregnancy. Think of Solomon. His life began in a magnificent way. God appeared to him and granted his prayer request, and in the end, his wives turned away his life from the Lord. Think about Abraham. He's the father of the faith, is he not? Yet he lied not once but twice about Sarah. Moses lost his temper. He disobeyed the Lord and lost his entrance into the promised land. But thank God for men like Caleb, who wholly followed the Lord. Men like Joseph, who would not commit wickedness with Potiphar's wife. Men like Enoch, who walked with God for 300 years and then walked right into heaven. These men lived by faith, walked by faith, and all of them stayed true to the Lord. They settled in their heart that they would believe God's word. They would act upon his word. And nothing would prevent them from doing so. Circumstances, nor crowd, nor carnal lust would not be able to taint their testimony, dim their light, or have them become less salty. I'm not saying it's an easy thing to wholly follow the Lord, but it is the right thing to do. Amen. And it is necessary if we are to be different from the average, mediocre, typical believer. We ought to be Christians who stand out because we are stayed upon the Lord. and are strong in the faith. We can't give in to the multitude. We can't give out because of adversity or give up because we're long in the tooth or up in the years. We must keep our eyes on Jesus and wholly follow the Lord and finish the race that God has set before us. When I read of Caleb and his steadfastness in the faith, I see he possessed a different spirit. He possessed a different spirit. In Numbers 14:24, God says this, "But my servant Caleb, because he had," what? "Another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it." You know, Caleb, he had a different spirit than those 10 other spies who declared defeat. You know those 10? They were faithless. You know those 10? They were looking at that situation without God. They said, "We can't." But God used Caleb and he challenged the people. He said, "With God all things are possible. We can take that land." His spirit was steadfast, as he believed they could do what God wanted them to do. Listen, folks, God never tells us to do something only to watch us fail. His commandments are his enablements. And victory in the Christian life comes when we have a steadfast faith in what God has said. We are to be more than conquerors in Christ. We are to possess a triumphant faith. Are we not told in Philippians 4:13, "I can do" what? Some things? Most things? "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." So through Christ, can we move forward by faith? Can we have victory over sin? Can we win souls? Can we tithe? Can we be faithful? Can we be holy? And can we not with Christ overcome all the obstacles that prevent us from claiming all that God has promised to us? Amen. Caleb had a different spirit. It was steadfast. He was different from the others who, when they said it can't be done, he said with a faith that was firmly settled, "It certainly can." His spirit was one of confident obedience. One of confident obedience. Now, this is something a lot of believers have difficulty with, and that is living in obedience with the Word of God. So many look at the commands of God like they're going through a buffet line. They take what they like, and they leave the things not to their liking alone. How many would think I'd be a good son to my father if I obeyed him when he took me out to eat at my favorite restaurant? When he told me to get ready to go to a ball game? Or he woke me up and said, "Hey son, it's time to go hunting. So get dressed." And I was excited and I obeyed the things like that. And I look forward to doing it. But what if he said, "Son, I want you to cut the grass today. I want you to pull weeds in the garden. Or wake me up on a cold winter's morning in Wisconsin and say, 'You need to shovel the driveway.'" And I said, "I'm not going to do those things. I don't want to do any of it. I don't like it." Then why do we think that we're pretty good believers? Because we obey in some things and disobey in others. Why can't we be like the psalmist who wrote in Psalm 119:35, "Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." Therein do I what? Caleb was one who wholly followed the Lord, and so should we. Caleb knew that faith and obedience are bound together. For he that obeys God trusts God, and he that trusts God will obey God. his spirit was one of complete faith. Numbers 14, verse 8 and 9 says this. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. So when we choose to disobey him, we are actually in rebellion. Rebellion to who? The Lord God himself. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. He says, man, it will be a cakewalk. We just need to move forward by faith. Their defense is departed from them. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. Here's what matters. It doesn't make any difference what those 10 spies said. It doesn't matter what the rest of the people who wanted to stone him and Joshua, it doesn't matter to them at all. You see, Caleb and Joshua, they were only concerned with pleasing the Lord. And if we are going to be abundantly blessed and enjoy his presence, we need a faithful obedience to God. Caleb stood out because he fully trusted God. You know, most believers won't, but those whom God delights in will. Those who won't will never fully surrender to the Lord. And you know what happens? They never really enter into the promised land. They continue to live on the other side of the Jordan, and they wander around in the wilderness the rest of their life, not doing what God would have them do. Then his spirit was one of consecrated selflessness. Caleb wasn't looking out for himself. He wasn't looking to be comfortable. Did you hear that? He was looking after the best interests of others. Would it have been better for them to obey God and go into the promised land? Or was it better for them to refuse to go in and wander around for 40 long years of funerals? He wanted them to enjoy God's best. And though it would be uncomfortable, and though it would be challenging, doing God's will is always rewarding and fruitful. You see, Caleb was sold out to the Lord. And that's what's lacking in so many believers. They are not consecrated. They are not fully, wholly given over to the Lord, who only has their best interest in mind. Since he was consecrated and in God's will, he wanted the rest to get in on the victory that was before them. He was encouraging them, admonishing them, exhorting them to live a consecrated, selfless life and do what God would have them do. His spirit was also one of constant perseverance. Constant perseverance. You see, Caleb stood firm. Him and Joshua, probably against 2 to 3 million others. And yet he stood firm. He wasn't going to give in. He wasn't going to give out. And he wasn't going to give up and side with the multitude. Caleb would have been one who heeded Paul's admonition to the Corinthians when he told them, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So let me ask you, what's your spirit like? Is it one of doubt? Disbelief? One satisfied with the little bit of spirituality you possess? Is it selfish? Are you angry? Are you bitter? Do you have a problem with jealousy? This type of spirit affects others negatively. You can and should possess a different spirit. One that is Christ-like. One that is confident. One that is obedient. one that will honor and serve the Lord and want what is best for others. And lastly, I want you to see Caleb pursued a different course. He pursued a different course. Numbers 14:24 says this, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me," what? "And hath followed me," what? Did he follow him half-heartedly? He followed him, what? Fully. You know, I've known Christians now for quite a long time. And you know, others will only follow the Lord when it is comfortable for them to do so. If the Lord had killed all the Canaanites, and then the other 10 spies would have told them, "Let's go in and take the land. The land is abandoned. It's ours." They would have said, "Okay, this is great. No fight, no battle." But you know what? God wanted them to fight. He wasn't about to do everything for them. He wasn't about to do everything, what? For them. You know, I met Christians who think God's going to do all this stuff for them instead of them doing it themselves. Now, Caleb didn't care if the way was smooth or whether the way was rocky. You see, he was going to serve the Lord, and he wasn't in it for his own comfort. All Caleb ever wanted to do was follow the Lord, and he had this settled in his heart. It didn't matter what the cost was, what the difficulties were, what trials he would have to endure. He had it settled in his heart that he would wholly follow the Lord. He wasn't going to be swayed by others. He knew the will of God and did it, unlike the multitude. I've met and known some who have a testimony of salvation, and their lives are a hot mess. And when asked why they don't do God's will, why don't they live a life of faith, they say it's too hard to change. They don't want to put the effort in. Well, let me tell you, that yoke of iron is a whole lot harder on you than the yoke that you would bear for Jesus Christ and live for Him. They don't seem to mind wandering around the wilderness until their life is over. It's sad to see. Yet that is how many will live their life, because there are so few Calebs who are courageous, who have integrity, who possess the right spirit, and are willing to pursue a far different course. I say, may God increase His numbers. And may we here live the fully surrendered life. And may we make decisions tonight to wholly follow the Lord. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.